Hello, wrestling friends. I'm Matt Kuhn, which means you're listening to the Gentleman Villain Podcast without Mr. Regal. Without. Man, it's been a crazy journey. You know, it's been, we talked a lot about it last week when I had John Alba come in and just kind of go over Mr. Regal's run. By the way, guys, the response to that episode was huge. It was one of our most downloaded shows ever. And the reaction was fantastic. I really was happy about that because my instinct is to say, well, damn, Mr. Regal's not here. He is by far the star of the show. But you guys really took to the show and you guys are very appreciative. Again, lots of downloads. I think a lot of people really compelled by Mr. Regal's journey as of late. And so definitely want to thank you for listening to that. Thank you for listening to the show. And just to reiterate what's going on in the future in the show is that this is the second to last show. Next week, we'll put a bow on things, and we'll also announce the newest podcast from Podcast Heat and ad-free shows, the Conrad Thompson family of podcasts, of which I have found myself suddenly inserted again. And after starting again with Mr. Regal, there was somebody else I wanted to do a podcast with, and two is it. I don't want to do more than two. Really don't want to do more than one, but there's someone I really want to do a podcast with. So I contacted that person, and that person was like, well, let me see if so-and-so says okay, and so-and-so said okay. And everybody's pretty excited about this podcast. The people that know are pretty excited because it's definitely a different perspective of a podcast host than we've had before, as far as career-wise. And I think I'll leave it at that. Also, you know, where this show was a lot of times very careful and was very, I'll use that word, you know, careful. And, you know, Mr. Regal was very careful to not say things that he felt were beneath him. This upcoming show, there's a possibility that we might say things that are beneath us, and looking forward to it. Looking forward to a different kind of situation. The reality is, Mr. Regal, in hosting his show, was very different from anybody else that I've hosted with or anybody else that I've listened. Mr. Regal had a set of rules for himself, a set of ethics, a moral guideline that he would not cross at any juncture, no matter what. The idea of the show becoming more successful or getting more downloads by violating one of his kind of rules that he had or ethics he had wouldn't even factor in for him. It was such a rock solid bedrock of kind of ideas of what he would do and would not do that made the show what it is. And as a podcast host, usually you're with a wrestler or you're with a personality who really is kind of on board with you as far as getting the most downloads that you can as well. You know that, okay, what do we do? How do we go about this? And you can see some people are really, really effective at this. And it was awesome for me that Mr. Regal wasn't like that at all because it made me a better host because I would have a question and that question was not going to be answered. So I had to come up with another question, but also kind of fell in line with the kind of person I wanted to be as well. And Mr. Regal, the way that he acts in public and acts with me is in a lot of ways the kind of person that I would like to be, you know, just very concise and very respected and doesn't have to talk a lot. But when he does, you want to listen. And I felt it was a very different kind of podcast because of that. And I really appreciate everybody listening to it. And we're not quite done because we have something really cool in store. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about some criticism of the MJF William Regal storyline. And I think we're just going to delve into that just a little bit. And then we are going to talk about the do's and don'ts of professional wrestling in Mr. Regal's own words. Now, Mr. Regal tweeted recently, very recently, and I think it was probably in reaction to reports that came out about what may or may not be his new position in WWE if and when he is getting hired by WWE. And he kind of objected to this idea, as he always does, of someone being sourced that's not him for a story about him. So that's something we would never do. We didn't do it last week. Make it very clear that I do not speak for Mr. Regal at all, and never would. And he's really given me not much to say. Like, I knew, I now know as much as everybody else, 100%. I don't know any more than anybody else about anything that's going on. I knew what I needed to know about the podcast, and not that soon before the podcast, you know, went on air last week. So I don't really have any information. But I also think a lot of people also don't have information, and they say they have information. And we saw that in different stories this year. But let's not go down that road. We're going to have a fun show. The Do's and Don'ts of Professional Wrestling is an email that missed an email. Here we go again. Email. An email that Mr. Regal sent me when we first started the show. So it's not anything having to do. It's something he wrote up while he was in WWE or after he left WWE. So it's just about how to be a professional wrestler in what he saw at the time, the WWE system. But it's a universal thing for if you want to be a wrestler, here's what you should do, and here's what you shouldn't do, according to him. And it's a great list of things. And for fans, it'll give us stuff, you know, we might not have noticed before. A way to watch wrestling in a different way, which is something Mr. Regal really gave us. We talked about how to apply wrist locks, and he talked about how to do a pin. And now, as fans, we're watching in a whole different way, but it's still just as enjoyable, just because we're analyzing a little deeper. Mr. Regal forced us as fans to kind of see the work that goes into things. You know, he always said it's close-up magic, right? There's no holes in it when he does it. But the way he talked about it made you see the work that goes into it. And I think this list will go a long way as fans to help us see, wow, look at all the stuff that's involved. Look at all the stuff that's thought about. And man, I wish more wrestlers did that. And then for the wrestlers that listen to the show, and I've heard from more than a few who enjoy the show, man, I heard from one this week. It's crazy how many wrestlers enjoy the show. It's a good encapsulation of Mr. Regal's thoughts about how to become a professional wrestler. And for a guy who for many years was, the person who let you in the gate to WWE, who scouted you, who said, okay, this guy's got it, this guy doesn't. What he sees is reality. What he sees is the deal. When he is amazing at assessing talent, and he is amazing at knowing what to do. He's seen so many people go through his system when he was in NXT and go up to the main roster, and he knows what it takes. And then on top of that, you have his moral, empirical, and ethical, belief of what wrestling should be and how wrestlers should be. And, you know, ideally, what should it be like? And it should be, in a lot of ways, how he came up, the same groundwork that he came up with. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that when we talk about it. Now, I will be narrating it. I know. How awesome would it be if he did it, right? He's got that great voice, like that great, those great, soft, dulcet British tones. I miss him. I tell you, I do. And my voice, by the way, it's going to sound a little different today because I have something that many might call full-blown COVID. Full-blown. Just terrible. Which is why the show's been delayed. So I don't want to delay any longer. You guys are the best listeners in the world. I want to get this information out to you from the Do's and Don'ts Professional Wrestling, talking a little bit about the MJF storyline, and we're going to start with that right now. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the MJF storyline with Mr. Regal, because there has been some critique of it, and I haven't really thought about it too deeply, and I was going to research it, but I decided not to research it because I've watched it all, and maybe by talking out, you can figure it out a little bit. So I think the main criticism of it, that overall, it's implausible, right? It's an unlikely thing. So to walk you through it, it started with MJF, mad at Mr. Regal. Comes out to the ring, talks about the email that Mr. Regal sent, and talk about how Mr. Regal did not give him the encouragement he needed. And then Mr. Regal kind of countering with, Max, you always need shortcuts. And if you're taking on Moxley, let's see if you have to use those shortcuts. Now, that was a huge promo. We did an entire episode on that, right? But they didn't follow up with it the next week at all. And the next week, I believe we may have had an interview with MJF or something. But the next time they were both on TV, MJF gets attacked by the Firm along with Moxley. And I think MJF may have done a save at that point. I know he did a save later on, maybe a week later, with the Firm. That lets you think, okay, he might be a good guy. But he's not doing a ton of interview time. So I guess as fans, what we're kind of thinking at this point is that Mr. Regal got under MJF's skin. MJF is trying to prove a point that he's not a shortcutter. You know, and he even said something into the camera once, for once in my life, I'm not going to take shortcuts. So it seemed like it was a sincere thing. Not only that, but he's fighting bad guys. In wrestling history, fighting bad guys really is the key to show a good guy. Like, if somebody kind of turns, if you're watching wrestling and you see someone does a little turn or maybe a good guy, you know, but in the next week he's starting to fight bad guys, you're like, oh, he's fighting bad guys. And he was fighting bad guys. He was fighting those Firm guys. So MJF is in this zone where people were trying to cheer him, and he was still kind of trying to turn him away from him. And this is on screen. Off screen might be a different story. But on screen, it seemed like fans were going back and forth, and he was going back and forth. And then finally, when it came to the match against Jon Moxley at the past pay-per-view, MJF did in fact have to cheat. And he cheated with the help of Mr. Regal. So Mr. Regal is the villain. The devil you didn't see coming, it's Mr. Regal. Now, I haven't talked to Mr. Regal since that moment. So what you saw is what I saw, right? In that the very next time, we don't really get explanation. We get Jon Moxley coming out wanting to beat up Mr. Regal. Mr. Regal not explaining himself at all. Danielson coming to his aid. And then the following week, or the week after, we had MJF finally explaining what happened, with Mr. Regal behind him, again, not saying a word. And then Mr. Regal gets attacked by MJF. Typical Max. Like, typical Max. Like, just, you know, you just don't want people to love you, do you, Max? You just don't want people to love you. I don't know what's wrong with that dude. He got a lot of charisma. And I've seen him at all these signings and stuff. He's always acting that way. Like, he's always in that character or whatever, where he's just, I think, it might be him, dude. Like, I don't know, because I've seen him do some crazy-ass stuff, like just being a jerk and, you know, anyway. But wrestling is wrestling. And on screen, MJF, the character and the person, he used the brass knucks to knock out Mr. Regal, who got sent off forever into an ambulance with Daniel Bryan. And here's the part that everybody is a little confused about, is that the next week they showed a pre-recorded vignette, which was in fact recorded before the attack on Mr. Regal, before the ambulance ride, where Mr. Regal said, hey, I want this filmed in case something happens to me. He trusts Tony. He trusts Giancarlo. He shouted him out by name, and he said, hey, in case something happens to me, here's what really happened, is that I gave you a lesson. Don't turn your back. You know, stay a couple steps ahead, or else you run to a villain. So it was all a lesson the whole time. Now, from the collective wrestling world, a lot of people were like, what? Like, what? For me, I think it's plausible, and I'm going to go into it. So the criticisms are that, what the hell, right? there's a million ways you could have done this. Why did you do it this way? And really, I think they were going for it all. They wanted to get the exit from Regal. They wanted Regal to leave with some kind of, you know, credibility and some kind of pride left after having to turn and then be turned on, which can be very, very bad for a character, right? They wanted Moxley to be justified. They wanted, you know, Danielson to be justified. They wanted to bring everything around so that Danielson could fight MJF, and he's not defending as a piece of crap. He's defending a super genius, Mr. Regal. Now, maybe the execution was a little, you know, a little rushed, but I kind of like it. I also like the fact that in all those things of Mr. Regal that we heard recently, that we talked about just now, he never said a word. He never explained himself. He didn't explain himself. He didn't explain himself to anybody. He just stood there because it was part of his plan. They knew that was part of his plan then. So I don't think it was put together the last second. I think that was the plan, was for him to say, this is, I'm leaving. People are going to read and know why I'm leaving. So in combining reality and combining the narrative on the screen, we want you to think that everybody's, Mr. Regal's leaving. He's going to the other company. We're all reading about it. But meanwhile, he's going to leave one more. What can he do with such a short time left in AEW? What can he do? How can he make an impact on his guys? Don't have much time left. It's a very painful lesson you could learn, though, in a short time. And Mr. Regal taught it to him. I don't think that's that crazy. I think if you take the idea of combining the reality and the narrative on screen, you put together a pretty good story. And you put together the fact that Mr. Regal didn't talk at all about it. He mums the word. And when he finally did talk, he told us the truth. Pretty cool stuff. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the MJF storyline. Coming up right now, the do's and don'ts of professional wrestling by William Regal. But before we do, the nights are getting longer, guys. But the breeze isn't the only thing that's getting stiff. That's right, this episode, along with many of our episodes since the very beginning of Gentleman Villain, have been sponsored by Blue Chew. We thank them for sponsoring this and our first episode and a bunch of episodes. You guys rock, Blue Chew. We know it. You have a great product because, guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line in the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. It's time to get off the couch and back to work, guys. And to get back to work, you got to have your tool. Sometime, tool needs an upgrade. And if your tool needs an upgrade, head to BlueChew.com. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. Have better sex. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code GENTLEMAN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code GENTLEMAN, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, guys, here is Mr. Regal's do's and don'ts of professional wrestling. These are Mr. Regal's own words on a document he made a while ago before the podcast started. And it is kind of a collation of his ideas on what one should do to become a professional wrestler. So without any further ado, the do's and don'ts of professional wrestling by the Lordship himself, Mr. William Regal. Here's my tips for becoming a pro wrestler slash sports entertainer. It takes a lot more work to be a WWE superstar than a few pro wrestling holds and throws. You must develop all your skills, and that usually comes from help from more experienced pros. I never had to be told to ask for help and guidance, and never to this day stop working on my skills. Sitting around texting, playing games, and whining will get you nowhere. No one owes you a living. Firstly, know what you're getting into. Pro wrestling is a very physically demanding business. If you can't stand pain, hard work, or lots of traveling, don't waste yours or everybody else's time. Get an education before anything else. I try not to be a hypocrite as much as possible, as I didn't get one, but I've been very fortunate to have a career. You are only one injury away from the end, and pro wrestling careers are not going to be as long as they have been in the past. So educate yourself for your future. So that I don't come across like a miserable old git, and he says, insert joke here. I'm not going to do that because I'm not funny. I will happily give you some free advice to up-and-coming pro wrestlers. Find a school with a good rep and a trainer who has a great pedigree. Learn the basics properly. If the school you train at doesn't emphasize roles, forward, backward, right arm leading, left arm leading roles, as a huge part of your initial training, then you are being shortchanged and put at risk. Accidents happen when falling for a living, but if it's second nature to roll, you'll have more chance of saving your neck. Very important. I see many people coming from many supposed good schools who aren't taught rolls as a priority. It's beyond me that people are taught to fall before roll. Until it is second nature to roll, you shouldn't be taught to fall. Get and stay in good condition. There's a big difference from looking in condition to actually being in condition. I'm a believer in Hindu squats, Hindu push-ups, and most importantly, proper bridging. Nose on mat, feet flat on mat. I've become a big fan of kettlebell swings for conditioning as well. You can look like a superhero, but if you have no stamina, you are useless to today's industry. Work hard and have respect for the job. Good manners go a long way. Treat people the way you would like to be treated. Enjoy it. Now, once you are training, make everything you do mean something or don't bother doing it. Study the greats and the people who the great ones admire. Very important. Some very wise words from Jim Ross, JR. Quote, if I were a young in-ring talent in today's world, then DVD study of my predecessors would be a regular part of my weekly routine, just as is going to the gym and eating smartly. Some talents will spend more time tanning, playing video games, etc., than watching the work of stars of previous generations, which is somewhat pathetic when one thinks about it. Unquote. Get a good base of basics and perfect them. Don't take this for granted. Work at perfecting your skills, but be honest with yourself. If there are things you don't do well, then avoid doing them. Try to find someone who will give you an honest answer about your skills. Most people's ego won't allow them to think that they do things badly. Practice your talking skills. Use a mirror and film yourself and work on every detail, facials, eyes, and mannerisms. Learn a one-minute promo and perfect it. Now do the same promo with the same words, but in as many different emotions as you can. Happy, mad, sad, glad, grateful, on the verge of a breakdown, indifferent, etc. Now when you get good at this, you'll be able to interchange several emotions in one promo. The key to getting good at this is to not change the words. I can watch a foreign language film and not understand it, but I can understand which emotion they are portraying if it's done well. My gold star to a good promo person is if they can recite a nursery rhyme and emote whatever I'm asking them to do. Look to the world to find things that you can use to develop your character, films, TV shows, and anything else that grabs your attention. Learn how to read people's emotions. This tip is invaluable. People don't just boo or cheer. You have to learn how to make them. Only one in a million has the Elvis factor. Old reference, but I can't think of a better one. If you truly have that quality, then you can get away with anything. But the majority of us don't. So don't take your skills for granted. I believe that the more time you put into learning the details, the better and longer your career will be. Watch this match and really study everything they do. You should aim for this standard if you're interested in technical wrestling. Now, the link he's talking about is a World of Sport match. Marty Jones versus Terry Rudge from December 4th, 1976. You can search that on YouTube as well. Back to Mr. Regal. I know I'm the last person you want to listen to about physique training, but it's very important these days. From seeing how the smart people train now, it seems as though compound movements like squats, deadlifts, etc., build better, more functional, resilient bodies for our business. Bodybuilding movement don't. Like I said, this is just what I see and hear. Learn from mistakes of the people who have come before you, including me, and try to make them. To make it here in the WWE, you have to be very adaptable and willing to make any character or opportunity work. Here's some very good advice. Make a list of the worst possible situations and character traits you could be asked to do. Now make up a character and promo involving those traits and work on perfecting that character and promo on your own. Otherwise, you'll get locked up. Make those things second nature. Now you've taken away some of your fears, and whatever you are asked to do should be easier. Don't skip this task. Very few people who come to the WWE end up being the character that they envisioned. The most important things you have to make you connect with an audience are your eyes. If you believe in yourself and your persona, it will be evident in your eyes. You cannot show any real emotion without your eyes. So if you're interested in being taken seriously, then never wear anything to cover them. This will offend a lot of people, but you don't look cool wearing sunglasses indoors. You look a divvy. I don't know what that means, but it's awesome. There are many big stars who have worn them, but you'll find most will take them off when they're making a serious point, or they just have that special magic that only one in a million have. If you need an example of this, do you trust anyone who you meet that you can't look in the eyes? In this day and age, you need everything on your side to help you connect to people. Your eyes are a huge part of that. A tip from Roddy Piper: always wrestle from your heart. It sounds simple, but it's not. Don't play at pro wrestling. A tip I think will keep you constantly working on your skill set: go out every night thinking that no one knows you. By doing this, you will never take your audience or yourself for granted and show them exactly what you are and what your character is all about. This will keep you working on the details and the true essence of how to tell stories to the people watching. As far as storytelling goes, just imagine there's an announcer explaining everything you do to the people watching. Does that make sense? Does it look good? Would it look good in slow motion? Think about this. When you go to a movie, do you want to see the stuntman jumping out of the helicopter, or do you want to imagine it's a star? This all ties into trying to perfect the detail of your stuff. If someone is watching wrestling for the first time, is what you're doing making sense to them? Figure all that out, and you should be a lot better at storytelling. An added note on storytelling in detail: most of my thoughts on this came from people I know who don't like wrestling, and the things they say about what they see. If you can see a car running at you at 30 miles an hour, would you let it hit you? Hopefully the answer is no. That's why there's natural selection in the animal world. Then why would you let a person run into you and let them knock you down? I see that all the time in pro wrestling bouts. Take the time to consider that and figure it out. It'll take no more than a second to react differently to. Then you're covering as much detail as possible. I watch a lot of things shown in replays, GIFs, etc., that really get exposed because of lack of detail. I know that I'd be doing as much as I can to keep as many people watching, paying attention to what I was doing. Don't worry about what other people do. Make your stuff as good as possible. Just my opinion, but if you want to have a long career and study as many different wrestling styles as many of today's top stars, have an international feel to their styles, and you should study those. There are lots of wrestlers from around the world, and you want to be able to wrestle all of them if you want to stay relevant. Study what's going on in the industry, as you don't want to be left behind. A lot of the wrestlers I see that can only do one style seem a bit outdated against some of the talent who have learned different styles. Everyone takes ideas from others, but make them your own. Try to be original. Be a one-off. Just an opinion, but if you do something that someone else is famous for, then it doesn't matter how good you are at it. I'm thinking of them and not you. If you want to be a successful character, then you should know what that character was doing on his third birthday. That means know every detail of what that character's about. Always back to that detail. I know. But the more you know, the more you'll believe, and the better you'll portray. If you're a lifelong fan, never forget what you loved or booed at in the wrestlers you liked as a child. And try to add some of that to your skill set. Make a child a fan, or even hate you enough to want to see you get your comeuppance. And they may stay fans for life, and probably want their parents to spend money on your merchandise. That's enough for today. Sounds simple enough, but very few put those ideas into practice. Use common sense. Everything is in those tweets. Figure them out. Best wishes, William Regal. Wow, that's some fantastic stuff, and just reminds me of how lucky I was and am, to be able to host a show and just sit there and listen to that dude. You know, one time we just started talking, and that just became the show. It was just me asking questions like, what about this? What about that? Because he's so smart, and he's so confident in what he believes, and he has a lot of reason to sound confident. So just fantastic stuff. Just, you know, unsurprisingly fantastic stuff from Mr. Regal. Again, I apologize for my voice today, but, and also the lateness of the show, but hey, COVID don't sleep. COVID don't care. COVID don't care about my podcast. COVID don't care about my business. COVID don't care. But I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you'll tune in next week where we will reveal, sirens outside, it's not part of the announcement, where we will reveal soon the next podcast coming, and I hope those of you who got to know me through this show will give that show a chance too. I know you're here for Mr. Regal, but if I convince you, maybe, you know, give the other one a shot, that'd be cool too. And I think if you're a wrestling fan, you'll really enjoy it. Just like you enjoy this, the Gentleman Villain Podcast, without only one more, Mr. Regal. We miss you, Mr. Regal.